Nina Russo, when we were at University of California at Berkeley, you designed the musical I co-wrote, Genesis, a musical about creation. And now you're designing The Pit on HBO. How does one go from designing my college musical to designing the biggest show on television?
Well, I guess they're both shows about life and death.
Yes.
So that would be a string.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. I'm Austin Titchener, co-artistic director of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, now in its 19th year, number 979, Designing the Pit. Earlier this summer, I was several episodes into watching The Pit on HBO before I realized the entire massive set was designed by my friend from college, Nina Russo. Nina's one of the most sought-after production designers in the business, so I was thrilled that she took time out of filming the second season of The Pit to talk to me about her journey to designing massive TV shows now from working on the musical I wrote in college back then.
Well, it was quite fun. The musical was really a blast, actually.
I remember it. It was like a storybook. You had designed a storybook. So each scene, a new panel of the set, this accordion center stage, unfolded to be a new dorm room or a new location. I forget where we are.
Yeah, it was like pop-up book, sort of. And then all the furnishings were also, we designed all these amoeba-like shaped to be multi-purpose furniture pieces. Or not we, I mean, I guess it was just me. I built them, I designed them, I did that. That's the difference.
I'm not a team now.
All myself now.
Yeah.
I thought it was quite an imaginative design for your show. And it was very boldly colored. And those expressive physical shapes actually did become furniture items later on. And I remember I did a lot of soft sculpture too. The playfulness of it was really quite exquisite.
And it's really appropriate to the piece, for sure.
Appropriate to the piece, because we were all, Genesis. There are many moments in my life where I actually think of multiple lines from that play, which I find surprising. Like, I hate it when Top 40 reflects my life and things like that, that I actually remember.
Yeah.
Because those things get in the sedimentary layer of you.
Yeah.
So from me, from the question being from here, where I am now, to then, what is that connective tissue?
Yeah.
It's the enthusiasm of doing something that you don't really know anything about. So that's part of what is the powerful part of my design work, really, I feel like, from a production designer's perspective. Everything's new, and I've stumbled upon multiple challenges in my whole career that are immersively the desire to just completely dive headfirst into it is, for me, what is luxurious and fun about production design.
And
every new project has a whole set of needs that I feel like I'm channeling those needs into what would be the design that would be appropriate for the shows.
And did you know back then in college that this was what you wanted to do? This wasn't a hobby for you. You wanted to pursue this as a career, production design.
Well, when I was in college, I was set designing in the theater, but I was an English major.
Oh.
I wasn't even in the theater department. I don't know if you know this, but I was not actually in the theater department.
I didn't even take
classes in the theater department. I took one class in the theater department, and all of the rest of my stuff was other. English, anthropology, art, all that. And for me, I ended up doing a lot of designs in the theater because there was very limited number of designers. So people came to me and I loved doing it. So did I know that was what I wanted to do? I think that it evolved when I discovered that I loved painting, and I realized that I didn't like being alone in a studio and that I liked being collaborative and making art in a collaborative way. And so a lot of my designs ended up, my paintings and things ended up being more three-dimensional in intent. And then that shift happened where I realized, okay, I like I don't want to be, I don't have much to say myself. I don't have a lot of life experience. I'm 18 or 19 or however old I was. Yeah. I didn't have stories to tell, but I love telling stories. So for me, the English degree was another way of, you know, when I tell the story of my life backwards, it does make a lot of sense because essentially I'm a visual storyteller.
Right.
That was something that I think I discovered in the theater and thought maybe I would end up in the theater, but wasn't in a position where I would make a living doing that.
Interesting. Your degree is in literature and you work with literature, but not from a writing standpoint. You are creating.
I'm expressing the visual, the visual story.
And that liberal arts background seems so perfect, well, for everything, but specifically for design, for interpreting different landscapes, different locations, different worlds, different cultures. Having a foot in all of these arenas seems like the perfect training. Did you know that then, or did that work out?
I didn't know that then. No, yeah. I think that's, you know, my revisionist history version of my life that makes it make sense to me. Yeah. Is that. And for me, the newness of everything and the excitement of a project-based lifestyle, my lifestyle has always been, and my professional work has always been project to project, hopping from project to project. And that suits me just fine because I'm deeply engaged in it. And I will make, I resist no deep dive. So for this, going back to the pit specifically, I've done multiple small hospital sets within movies or television shows that I've done, but not on this scale. The scale is really quite large. So
I was going to say, is this the largest thing you've ever worked on?
Not the largest thing I've ever worked on, but it's the largest hospital space. It's about 24,000 square feet of contiguous space. It's right. Contiguous space. That's fire lane to fire lane on most of two stages. And it's fully immersive. All of the lighting is embedded within. It's a completely 360 degree experience for an actor. It's a 360 degree experience for the cinematographer and for everyone involved. Like, I'm wearing scrubs right now because you can't be on that set without being accidentally potentially seen. So it's a unique design in that it is almost like, what would you call it like? Well, again, it's really quite banal, but it's immersive. It's an immersive experience.
I'm Rick Walker.
I'm Joe James.
I'm Blaine Swin.
And I'm Ross Bryant.
And we're the Improvised Shakespeare Company.
The Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? This fall of 2025, we'll be touring All the Great Books Abridged at various venues we'll announce soon, and the Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged in Washington State at the Edmonds Center for the Arts on December 3rd, and the Capitol Theater in Yakima on December 12th. Sign up for our newsletter or check out the touring page at our website, ReducedShakespeare.com, or our social media pages for venue and ticket information. Now back to my conversation with Nina Russo, talking about her extraordinary production design for HBO's The Pitt. I asked her about whether her design of a hospital that had originally been a completely different historical building was her invention or something she gleaned from the script, and her answer proceeded to blow my mind.
Most of the projects, I'd say, in the last 15 years or so have been with John Wells. He's an extraordinary producer and an extraordinary production company, and I've had the pleasure of doing multiple jobs with them. Shameless, Animal Kingdom, a million pilots. And so when The Pitt was going to happen, I was actually on another job, this job called No Good Deed. Again, a very physically immersive design because it was a show about a real estate war between four different couples that were trying to buy this one house in Los Feliz. And it had to be a house that was so seductive for all of them to want. So that was, it was a two-story, very complex, quite beautiful Spanish home. But I wasn't available at the time. And so when John called me to do the Pit, I said, I can't. And he said, well, could you do a ground plan for us? Could you do a ground plan for us? Because, you know, it's just something to start with, because I kind of want the writers to be working off of a space. So I had a couple of weeks holiday break, and I said, okay, well, I can give you a couple, I can give you my holiday break, you know, give me a person or two so I can work out what to do about the ground plan for you. But John approached me because they hadn't written a word yet. Nothing had been written.
Oh, wow.
And so because of my long association with him, I was in granted such a deep responsibility. Yeah. And it was an incredible honor, super flattering,
yeah,
to people to be given this trust to essentially design a space with not a word of a script, not a storyline, nothing, knowing full well that it was going to be 15 episodes in this physical space and that 95% of the project would actually take place in that space. Mm. So it was pretty daunting.
Yeah.
A daunting responsibility and an incredible expression of trust of him to me. Noah Wiley and Scott Gimmel and Michael Hisrick. These are Michael Hisrick and John I've done multiple projects with, but Noah and Scott, the showrunner, and Noah Wiley, who's a producer as well as the lead. This was my first time working with them. So as it turned out, I did the ground plan, and then I loved the work that I had done, but I had to give it away. Oh. And because I wasn't available. But then the stars aligned and I didn't give it away and I was able to do the project because the Pit pushed a little longer. So your concept about the design was, for me, I felt the responsibility to make a space that was ultimately the show could suffer the burden of being deeply claustrophobic. Mm. And have no sense of place. So the architectural elements that you see in the physical space are intended to give you some sense of history and some sense of the hospital and some sense of place, because we are 95%, 99% in the interior of that world. We don't go to other people's homes. We really begin and end at the interior and the exterior of the hospital. I mean, we've started
up on the roof exterior and out to the park.
That's it. And we have no locations. We have literally no locations. So yeah, the design is fully imaginative space. It doesn't exist. It's not a match to anything. It doesn't relate to anything in the real world. And it was fictitious space that I needed to create to satisfy innumerable unwritten stories.
Right. So you had to imagine the stories that might possibly.
Any story that might possibly happen in the end. And also within the intention of the project to be deeply, unimpeachably real.
Yeah.
Those two constraints were wonderfully focusing for the economy of the design and I had a very specific amount of money I had, and I had a very specific goal for myself to make you always feel as if the space would have continuous motion and you'd never really understand. It would take a while for an audience to understand really where the rooms begin and end, where the hallways begin and end, so that you would never feel stagnant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the unique situation about it is that all of the lighting is designed into the set. We don't use a single C stand. We don't use any grip equipment. So, and there's 689 lights that I've embedded in the design in the ceiling, and they're all on a trigger, like live theater off stage. So when a scene is blocked, mm-hmm, with a director and a sequence is blocked, then in the background, there's a guy, you know, manipulating the color intensity and the color and the intensity of the lights that are in their path. But other than that, that's it. So in really kind of unfair terms to everyone, you can go in there in the morning, you can flip on a switch and shoot from one end of the set to the other end of the set all day long. And that's what we do.
That's incredible.
Handheld camera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
It's not really theater. It's not really film. It's this whole other thing, which I hope they recognize it's become an incredibly efficient way to make television. And we make 15 episodes, and the days are, there's 300 people at any one time all over, slathered all over the set.
And you're shooting season two now. Mm-hmm. But it's all designed, right? Or do you, or you go in every day because there's a new challenge because we want to move here, or we're telling this story there?
And it's a little bit of both.
Okay.
It's a little bit of both. I mean, there are some design elements. There's additions to the set this season that I can't tell you about. And there are amendments to the set. And there's a lot of maintenance that takes place. So multiple departments that work for me are actually maintaining, because we also have to maintain, we're static in time. It's one day.
Yes.
So from the beginning of a day
in June.
Beginning of episode one in June to the end of episode 15 in January, the set has to remain constant. And that actually takes a lot more maintenance than you'd think. Departments that work with me are responsible to make sure that all that stuff clicks and is in place. But part of it is also like, it's a little too fun of a group. It's a party I don't want to leave.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. The Pit has been nominated for 13 Emmys this year, though Nina was inexplicably not nominated, and returns for its second season in January 2026. Nina herself will return in next week's podcast episode, as it was so great catching up, we talked long enough for two episodes. Among other things, you'll hear us share memories of working with Noah Wiley, the star and executive producer of The Pit. Send us your immersive playground via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com, or throw a comment to us over on the socials or on our own actual website, reducedshakespeare.com, or visit my website, theshakespeareans.com. Thanks, as always, to first-year resident Matthew Croak, web services by Ginger Power Limited, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Paul Levitt. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to the incredible Improvised Shakespeare Company, who perform every week at the IO Theater in Chicago, at Largo in Los Angeles, and are touring around the U.S. this fall. Go to improvisedshakespeare.com for more information. And as always, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 979 2937ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.